You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, now with 100% more disembodied hands. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein. With me, as always, is...
Mike the Ghoul, talking about some Wednesday this week on a Thursday.
I've covered the Addams Family movies, the good ones with Raul Julia and Angelica Houston and...
Classics.
Yeah,
classics.
Those are great. Those are fantastic movies. I don't think we can ever top those for the Addams Family at any point. And they keep trying. They keep busting out, like, animated versions or anything. Mm-hmm. And the movies are a great enhancement of the TV show from the 60s, which was a decent little adaptation of the comics, but definitely peak was the 1990s movies. And now we have Wednesday, which is working on its second season, and I've reviewed for the website and so on and so forth. You raised the topic about discussing it, because we were talking Jenna Ortega for the Scream films.
Sure,
So we're going to talk about it. But we're going to start with the fact that, oh my God, I just didn't like that show.
And I counter with, no, it was a good show. And then you were like, watch it again.
Watch it again.
Like, fine, I will. So I did. And yes, the show was pretty good. But to your point, yeah, the best part of the show was Jenna Ortega.
Oh yeah. She's fantastic in it. She clearly studied what Christina Ricci did and then found her own version of it, which was...
Yeah.
Good. I liked her performance. I thought she was wildly into it in a way that clearly no one else on the show understood how to be whatsoever. But it's like they took Wednesday away from her family, which on its own is strange because the whole point of the Addams Family is the family.
Yeah, the whole family dynamic between them. Uh-huh. And, you know, this was very much like a different take, like a Wednesday kind of rebelliousness against Morticia,
yeah, which
kind
is
of
weird.
Thing.
Which was, you know, weird.
It was an interesting take, you know, but I mean, you want to go, like, you know, the teen angst, like, okay, sure, I've not.
Did we want to do that?
I mean, if you want to, I guess I understand. I mean, she's Wednesday as a character could give off that kind of, like, you know, that vibe, I guess. But
yeah,
it's an interesting choice.
It's like they took her and they slapped her into a Mean Girl mystery show. Like it was meant for the CW, but the CW didn't want it, so Netflix took it or something. Like, it even had a couple of the creators from fucking, like, Smallville on there as the lead producers on it. And I'm sitting there going, well, this certainly does feel like Wednesday in Smallville. I'm very confused by it.
Yeah, some of the best episodes, I think, of the series were some of the first couple, and you really felt, like, the Tim Burton kind of influence on that.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones he directed.
Yeah, the ones he directed. But the show, like, overall, it was fine, and... Jenna Ortega was the best part. Some interesting choices, some nice little fan services, you know, Christina Ricci as the Nevermore dorm mom, like, you know, bringing her back. That was kind of cute. But I mean, I think we talked a little bit about, like, you know, some of the other characters, like Morticia and Gomez, like, you know, their relationship is very dynamic in most aspects in the movie.
Central.
They tried to do that here a little bit. And, like, I think they pulled it off kind of, sort of, in like the creepiness factor, but I like Luis Guzman as an actor, and I want to give him credit, but he was not the best Gomez for me.
No. Well, and he didn't have charisma to sell the romance with Morticia. They got Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I don't know if it was just that she wasn't giving it back to him, or if they couldn't find it at all, but because he wasn't having it for her, she wasn't having it for him, and that meant that both of them just fell completely flat for me. Even in moments where they weren't together and it was just, like, him or her with Wednesday, still didn't feel right. Their casting was just off. I guess I could see Catherine Zeta-Jones as a good Morticia, just not, like, I think she needs a better director to tell her what to do for it, because this definitely felt like a failure of director to performance.
It feels almost like Wednesday was, like, a foster child in her own kind of family.
Yeah.
You know, like, it gave, like, that kind of a weird
feel. She just doesn't blend
between them.
No.
Yeah, and a family of, you know, rejects and outcasts, she's the most normal rejected and outcasted for it, I guess. I don't know.
It was, like, she was so strange and kooky in her own way, which was fine. Like, that's how it's supposed to be, but not in the way you expect for that family. Like, when the antics she's performing are bad enough for the rest of them to go, yeah, that was too far, when there's never supposed to be a too far because they always know how to moderate themselves just enough.
Right.
Like, I flash back on a scene from the second Addams Family movie, Addams Family Values, where someone sees Pugsley sitting there smoking a cigar, and he's like, oh, he's a lady killer, and Gomez is like, acquitted.
Acquitted, yeah.
Like, there's clearly not too far, because you don't, like, as much as Gomez could be joking, you doubt he's joking, you know?
Right. Yeah, and even in, like, the first movie, like, little things where, you know, Pugsley steals the stop sign, and, you know, Gomez is like, wait, I want to hear the crash, like, oh, well done, yes, how many people did we kill this time? Like, it didn't give that, like, kooky, like, I mean, it's in the theme song, right? We're creepy and we're kooky. Yeah. Like, it didn't give that feel. It just gave, like, awkward and creepy kind of vibes.
Well, like, she, at the first episode, to punish people for attacking her brother, she dumps piranhas in the pool they're in, which, among various things, one, the piranhas would instantly die from the chlorine.
Right.
and two, they don't maim people the way they showed in that show. But also, they showed it, which, again, is not how the Addams Family works. They imply the violence and the beheadings and everything else that's going on, but they don't show it because it's supposed to be lighthearted, cartoony, and that vibe was also missing from Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, there's scenes in the movies, too, where, like, you know, she shoots at him with a crossbow into an apple in his mouth, and you hear the apple be pierced by the arrow, but in the next scene, he's fine.
He's fine.
You know, you don't see the violence.
No.
It's thought of, but this one, they kind of showed it, and I thought, like you said, that was an interesting choice, and, you know, take the whole, you know, nature aspect of it with the piranhas definitely dying the second you put him in there.
Yeah, that's not a habitat for them.
Yeah, like, I get it, like, you know, Wednesday is going to do some violent things because that's Wednesday, but, I mean, you're already, in a world where you're suspending disbelief already, you already lost me a little bit there.
Yeah, because, like, she's not going to end up at a school for girls for pulling that. She's going to end up in prison, I don't care how much money Gomez has to throw around. Like,
yeah.
Because it's just, there was so much. But then it leads into that plot line of she goes to the school and some weird, mysterious creature starts killing people, which... Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a number of issues with this, the first of which is the fact that it feels like a CW show, because she has will they or won't they romances with two boys, and which, again, Wednesday, none of the guys that they decide to pair up with Wednesday feel like someone that would be paired up with Wednesday. The kid from the first movie, or the second movie, Absolute Values, that was played by...
Oh, yeah, the little geeky kid, yeah.
The geeky kid, yeah. He was in, like, all kinds of shit playing the geeky guy. He was in Numbers and crap, too, and he's great. Mm-hmm. I like him as an actor, even though right now his name is eluding me, and I'm not going to go look it up. But he was a good combination for her, because it's just the way he paired up with her. But, like, none of the guys they had on the show worked with her. They were two pretty boy nice guys, and just didn't suit the kookiness of what she was giving off, which Jenna Ortega was giving off a lot of it.
Right. Very like yacht club kind of feel, and, like, you know, I get it, like, you, that's kind of where you are, you know, regionally, like, this is supposed to be, like, set in the Northeast, I guess, but it felt very, like, you know, an upper crust kind of town that just didn't really fit for me.
Which why does it have a school like Hogwarts in the middle of this weird town? Like, that's so much of this just felt like they took a grab bag of tropes, CW romance plotting, Scooby-Doo style mystery, which the CW also does, like fucking Nancy Drew, a bit of Hogwarts thrown in, and then let's maybe make a nod to the Addams Family, but not really, because we don't understand what it is that we're actually writing. Let's just take the teen girl so we can do a teen girl power show with her.
It threw a lot of, like, you know, cliche tropes together all in one. Like, let's try to get, like, a little bit of everything from every show that kind of has worked over the last 20 years and vomited into an Addams Family.
Yeah, which was very moody and stylish and clearly had a good budget and was sold on the power of Jenna Ortega. But when you remember that it's a couple Smallville guys that wrote it, you're sitting there going, so weird character goes to a school, has school plots as well as some sort of overarching bad guy mystery for the season, and then solves everything and becomes the hero of the season. And you're sitting there going, so they just took Wednesday and remade Smallville.
Very, like, What was the other show my wife just watched based off of, like, Archie and Jughead?
Oh, Riverdale. It is very Riverdale.
Yeah. Like, that's another show. Like, I didn't watch it. She did. But she said, like, it went from, like, a really kind of, like, teen kind of show of, like, growing of age to very, like, science fiction and time travel. Yeah. It took this weird left turn.
Yeah. And so, that's what happens here. Like, it sets up a fairly standard school, like, was it Nancy Reagan High School or whatever that Wednesday was going to, till she maimed some kids. And so, like, aside from her maiming kids and getting away with it somehow, like, very based on reality, where the only weird thing about it is the Addams Family. And then she's transported to this other school where there's a bunch of weird random people, strange people, in the secret society school with, like, very Hogwarts, as I said. And then there's this preternatural monster, and you're like, the more this show goes on, the less of, like, any sense of reality for her to be the weird one within. Like it loses it. It just loses that completely.
Yeah, it makes her the most normal character in a show that's supposed to be about her being abnormal and unable to fit in.
Yeah.
It tries to find her a place in a show that was, it just felt design flawed to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just strange. The love triangle, like you said, didn't do it for me. Some of the casting was okay. I like the headmistress. Like, I like her from Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones. Yeah. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
She played that very stoic role well. There was some good in here. But overall, like, it missed on more marks than it hit for me. And I'm glad I rewatched it because it was very good the first time around. But Jenna Ortega was the reason it was good. And you were right.
Yeah. It's also a missed opportunity because I know there was rumors going around Hollywood, although I don't think anything was ever, like, put into production, about, like, doing an Addams Family sequel kind of thing where you get, like, Angelica Houston as grandmama at that point. So she's, like, still Morticia, but, like, the grandmother version of her. And then you have, like, Wednesday and whoever she married as, like, the main focus with, like, new kids and so forth. And you could do that. And you could even bring back Christina Ricci, who was even in this show, and she was still good, even if she wasn't playing Wednesday. Like, there was things you could have done with the characters that could have either linked to the movies or done something different that you didn't need to do teen girl power show. And I think that's the thing is, like, when you take the characters out of their family unit and put them into weird little things, you have to have them be the strangest thing around. Like, when they took Wednesday and Pugsley and put them into the summer camp in the second movie, they use that to highlight how strange normalcy is. Because, like, you're watching them and you're like, these are all the things you do at summer camp, and this is how you're supposed to act, and you're supposed to be normal and friendly and kind. And by doing that, they're like, this is absurd and abnormal. And Wednesday is the most normal person here just by being herself. But it's a different way of getting to that than this show does.
It's a very, like, Stepford Wife kind of feel on that summer camp. You know, they put them in the little love hut and make them watch, like, you know, all the cute little movies on repeat and Old Yeller and, like, you know, Sounds of Music and all that. And, like, we're not letting you out until you're ready to smile and be part of the group and be a good little girl and good little boy. It was funny in that movie setting. And you could have hit on some notes of that in the show. Yeah. But, I mean, the mystery aspect of it, like, you know, it was flat. It really was. And, like, you know, some of the dynamic was good, though. Like, Fred Armisen as Uncle Fester was great. I loved him as Uncle Fester. I thought the relationship between Wednesday and Fester felt kind of real. I feel like they could have that kind of relationship between them that almost, like, you know, looking at him like a surrogate father, almost like he teaches her how to do things. And you know, he's the reason she's so crafty. Like, I kind of got that feel. But I could have used more of him. He was on screen for, what, 20 minutes?
20 minutes. Well, and the thing is, she doesn't need a surrogate father. The whole point of Gomez is that he's there and he's present, like, but not in this show for some reason because she's mad at everyone, which doesn't make sense. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't know what their thought process was beyond, well, let's just make a CW show with Wednesday, which is as far as I could get in the whole process. I watched the whole series. It was watchable Netflix trash, which is all Netflix trash, honestly. There's very few times that Netflix does anything that actually rises above, and then when they do, they then turn it into Netflix trash. Case in point, The Witcher.
Oh, that had such promise.
It did. That first season was so good.
So good.
And then everything that's come since has been so bad.
Yeah, I couldn't even get through season two of that. You know, I had such high hopes, and like I don't know, maybe I'm.
No, you're not wrong.
I know. It lost something for me.
I've made it through three seasons so far, and I've been so bored because I think the issue with that show and the reason why Wednesday went so template and basic. Is that Netflix isn't looking for challenging material. They don't want things that make you think. And the first season of The Witcher,
If they want it to feel safe.
They want it to feel safe. They want something they can put into a trailer that makes you interested enough to keep an eye on it when it comes out. Mm-hmm. And then you'll watch a few episodes and go, that was fun. And then you'll move on. But you'll never feel challenged to the point that you want to unsubscribe. Because your viewing the movie isn't their goal. You're staying subscribed is their only goal. They don't really care if you watch anything on the service so long as you keep renewing.
Yeah. How many more extra clicks are we going to get by putting out this teaser about this show, about this movie, about this documentary?
They want you just engaged enough that they continue with your subscriptions. Their metric is not how good did a movie do, how much money did it make us, only how many people are subscribed to our network. So. Yeah.
It's always about the money in the end.
Yeah, they don't really care. So whether or not Wednesday is good is secondary to whether or not Wednesday was consumable enough for them to continue getting subscriptions on it. And the problem with The Witcher is as big as it got that first season and as well watched as it was at the time, there was also a ton of fan complaints online that it was challenging. It was weird and time-twisty and had too much nudity and not enough people could watch it the way they wanted to. It really wasn't a show that you could just pick up and, like, watch in the background because of how much time bouncing it did and all the plotline crisscrossing and everything. So they got rid of all of that in second season, and it became a dumb, non-challenging fantasy show. And that's kind of Wednesday, is a dumb, non-challenging fantasy show. That's all Netflix makes.
It never really felt like it took any risks, did it, as a show? Like, you know, maybe the riskiest thing it did was making, you know, Wednesday this type of character who she was and the rebellious teen that she was portrayed as. So maybe that was the risk. I don't know.
I don't even feel like that was a risk. That was just let's have her act out in the most audacious way possible to short-circuit any kind of character development. To have her, so that we have to spend time saying why she's at the school. She maims people with piranhas. We have to send her somewhere else. That's like a 2-second soundbite, and they immediately dump her in, like, the next thing that she's supposed to go to. And then, at that point, they can be like, well, now we can actually develop her as a character, and hope that everyone forgets that she sent fish into a pool and they chewed a dude's junk off. Like...
It's never referenced again, right? Like, it's never brought up that, like, she was... Literally, they say it in the car ride over, that she was almost on trial for attempted murder.
Yeah.
And it's never brought back up again. The accepting thing is, we're going to pay you a certain amount of money, and we're going to put her in a school made for freaks and geeks that are full of vampires and, you know, sirens and werewolves.
She goes to therapy, and that's the entirety of her quote-unquote punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the therapy in this pilgrim town in the Northeast that, you know, burns witches at the stake or whatever.
Like, yeah.
It's just a very awkward feel. Like,
so weird. Again, it was very Riverdale-esque and like, let's put every single weird story trope in so that when a second season comes around, we can be weirder, but not in a challenging way.
Yeah. To their credit, at least they did try to wrap things up at the end and kind of tie a bow around everything. You know, as satisfying or not as you want to say the ending was, everything was kind of answered. It was that basic Netflix, like, you know, we were hopeful for a second season, but we don't know if we're going to get one. Mm-hmm. So we'll tie everything up, you know, in the most Netflix way possible.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. The most Netflix way. Speaking of, I watched Damsel. And that was another one that was very unchallenging and... very Netflix. Like, I liked it. I liked it for what it was. I thought the performances were fine. I thought the special effects were decent. But it is a movie where, like, when you watch it and then you go back and you think upon it again afterwards, you're sitting there going, in no way, shape, or form did this give me any surprises or anything challenging. Like, at every step of the way, the movie was set up to just cycle a character through the obvious expected plot lines and come out at the end and tie everything up with a bow as fast as possible.
It's very few and far between. We get things nowadays that are kind of really cerebral and make you think, you know, everything is a click away.
Yeah,
especially on Netflix, you know, which churns out, you know, their form of content on almost a daily basis.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get things that kind of, you know, some sustain and make you think, which is sad in this world and climate we live in of, you know, everything at a click of fingertip and, you know, you want your information yesterday. It's hard sometimes to kind of let things world build and give you some sustainability. And I feel like that almost kind of started back when DVR became a thing. Like, how many good shows got canceled back in the day because they weren't getting ratings of watches because they were being recorded and DVR'd and watched at a separate time?
It depends. You know,
it's I'm sure there were plenty.
There are some. Netflix at that point was actually the savior for a lot of shows because there was a lot of shows that were not popular, but because people could binge them on Netflix, they became popular. Case in point, the poster child for that is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, it was not popular on AMC until people could binge the first four seasons, and then suddenly everyone was watching it. It went from, like, 2 million people watching to 10 million people watching for, like, the fifth season, and it just blew up at that point. And there's other shows like that. Like, AMC became huge at that point because of Breaking Bad, which, and also people started watching Mad Men more, and they were watching The Walking Dead at that point. And that was just like the perfect cultural point for AMC, fueled in part by Netflix. But that kind of Netflix watching is done. Like, Netflix is the most middle-of-the-road, don't-care-whatever-happens. Like, I find Amazon Prime more willing to actually do challenging material, and half their crap is the television show equivalent of Dad Rock. Like... Have you happened to go watch the latest Jack Ryan or like fucking the big dude
Reacher?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, or the latest Jack Reacher or what about Without Consent or whatever the fuck that fucking thing was called? Or a show where Chris Pratt is a guy on the edge who used to be in the military and now goes out and like hunts people as a vigilante. Every single one of those is like something you could see a dad sitting in his leather chair, drinking a beer, watching a post-military guy get back into the service to help his country, whether legally or not. And I'm sitting there going, they just have a template and they cram these out. But then, at the same time, Amazon Prime has, like, Invincible and The Boys. And you're sitting there going, so who are these shows for? Because it's not Dad Rock, that's for sure.
It's very like, you know, find damage, hero, insert here kind of template. And, you know, watch the redeeming story of their victory after going through some trauma.
Yeah, no, that is half of what Amazon Prime did. I watched through all of Jack Ryan and I was so bored by the end of it. And then Jack Reacher came around. And like the first season was okay, but it was unchallenging. And I haven't even finished the second season because I'm like, I might be the right age for this, but I am not the right level of, like, dad for this.
It's an okay show. I got through the first few episodes. It's good. I like the actor, I think, is pretty good.
He is great.
I can appreciate some gratuitous violence here and there. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Amazon does surprise me with some of the risks they will take. Like, case in point, The Boys, the violent levels of that show.
Yeah.
And Invincible, some of the violence they'll show on that show. But it's definitely like a very niche kind of thing. There are two shows that really, you're like, you're from the same streaming service?
Yes, right.
You guys offer both here? Yeah. Okay.
The only streaming service I actually feel like is actually trying to challenge people is Hulu. Because they'll actually, like, put all kinds of stuff on there. And, like, the same place that has Prey, for example, will also have, like, a bunch of weird reality shows and Disney stuff on it all at the same time. And you're like, Hulu just gets everything. I actually really like Hulu. It and Netflix used to be the only two streaming services I felt like I needed. And Netflix, with its Wednesday middle-of-the-road bullshit, is just kind of losing me, which is to get us back around to the topic at hand.
It's a very, like, it's cookie cutter.
It is.
You know, it's Riverdale, it's Wednesday, it's the same thing, different actresses or actors.
Yep. Hire cheap, pretty people, put them in a show with the most minimal amount of mystery, let it play for 2 hours or 8 episodes or whatever it is that Netflix is looking for at that point, wrap it up, put out a trailer, hope people keep subscribing.
I feel like maybe their formula also of, like, you know, not the slow burn release, the release of, like, we'll do an entire season in one shot, here you go ahead and binge it, works for them. I think in a way it kind of almost gives a little bit of diminishing return over time because, you know, you're not waiting for that next episode and the buildup's not, you know, as long and the burn is not as long. But there's something to be said, I guess, with dropping everything and getting the conversation big about it in one time, bringing in that huge lump of subscriptions all at once instead of over a period of time. So it's a formula, I guess, that they works for them. But I do question sometimes the way they release their content.
Yeah. The way, the reason, the what, the how.
Yeah. And they tried at least. You know, I thought overall it was a pretty good show. I'm okay for a season two. I'll watch it. You know, I'm hoping they learn from some of their mistakes. Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to see them even as mistakes, but I hope they learn from some of their shortcomings that they may have or may not have recognized. And I see that they already have Steve Buscemi queued up for season two. Anything he does, like, I'm interested because, you know, he's just that level of, like, you know, creepy versus charismatic as an actor. So
he just has to come in and be like, hello, fellow Adamses.
Hello, how you doing? You know, walking in with the skateboard and the sideways hat, you know. I'm here for that. I would love to see him roll in as, like, you know, Jerky Adams or something, that quirky cousin.
I'll watch the show for its second season because I managed to sit through the first of it, but I don't know. I don't have hopes. The only thing I really care about is Jenna Ortega, I'm like, can't you just be on a better show, girl? Like, please?
Yeah, and now that we're not going to get her in the next Scream movie either, right. Like, you know, this is our next, you know, I mean, I'm sure she's got other projects in the works. This is the next, like, you know, thing where she's being released where, like, you know, she's coming out and it's going to be featured. It's going to be this amount of episodes and you're going to be able to enjoy what she puts forward.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it for that. Mm-hmm. But I do hope that they do fix some of the things and, you know, repair that relationship between Wednesday and her family a little bit, which I guess you tried to do at the end of the season, but definitely don't make the loveness between Morticia and Gomez feel as awkward
as it did.
They're supposed to be all about each other and it just felt like they were tolerating their other person in a way.
Yeah, just recast them. Don't even say anything about it. Just recast them and let's all move on.
They never existed. They weren't in it enough as it was anyway.
No, they weren't. All right. Well, I think we've talked about this enough. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, lamenting the fate of the Addams Family. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm Mike the Ghoul, going to go over and get my summer camp resume getting going.
I swear I will never write a musical about Thanksgiving Turkey Day. You know, it's just, no. I'm good. I'm good.
Yep. Eat me!
We will see you all next time. You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, made with real Girl Scout cookies. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein. Actually, that's supposed to be made with real Girl Scouts. It sounds a little dirty. Let's not do that. You know?